in the open house next Saturday at our house in the afternoon. You are all invited. There is our address is in the bulletin, so please come. We would love to have you and welcome you at our home next Saturday. And one last announcement is this Thursday at 4:30, we are going to try to do the Lansing trash pickup. Meet at the church here, and then you'll go pick up some trash bags from the city. It's a citywide effort this month, so we wanted to be a part of that here at Central and pick up around our neighborhood. So if you'd like to help with that, you can get a hold of Brittany in the office or just show up here at the church Thursday at 4:30. All right, that is the announcements. And now I want to transition into this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And I just wanted us to take a moment of quiet and prayer to give thanks and remember those who have lost their lives. So I think we have something up on the screen. Hopefully we do and that I can read it because I did not print it. So would you just for a moment stand with me and we're going to say a prayer together. So I'm going to read the part that says pastor and then you can read the part that says people. And I want you just to consider for a moment that many people have gone before us and lost their lives, and we remember them. We give you thanks, God, for this country and its freedoms, for the wonder of our story.
We give you thanks, God.
For the many leaders in the past who have worked for freedom, unity, and the common good.
We remember and give you thanks, God.
For those in all times and places who have been true and brave and worked for the good of all by serving others.
We remember and give you thanks, God.
For those who served their country in its hour of need, and especially those who gave their lives in that service.
We remember and give you thanks, God.
We also bring before you those who mourn those who are gone. Pour out your peace on them and walk with them.
Thank you, God, for your peace. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to take the offering. So if our ushers can come forward, please. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the many ways you have provided for us. Thank you for your provision of your presence with us. Thank you for graciously supplying our needs, and for most of us, many, many things more than what we need. So, Lord, we give back to you just a little bit of what you have provided for us. And, Lord, help us at Central to continue being good stewards of what is given. For the sake of your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. So today is a little bit different for our service because you all know that I kind of like to keep you on your toes, right? I don't want to do everything the same every single week or else you'll all get bored or I'll get bored. So today We are, all of you have been given in your bulletin, there's a purple sheet or a white sheet in Swahili that has the whole book of Philippians printed. We're going to read out loud the whole book of Philippians today. Now, not just from beginning to end. I'm going to try to move it around, and we have some different readers who are going to help us read, and we're going to divide up with some singing in between. I think you'll find that it will go much faster than you think. But I wanted to explain for a minute why in the world we would read a whole book of the Bible in one sitting during church, okay? Because that doesn't happen very often, right? All right, well, first of all, in Old Testament times, they used to do this all the time. They would read great lengths of scripture out loud. Now, there's a reason they might do this. Back then, most of the people could not read on their own. So unlike us, they did not have a Bible or a scroll at home that each day they could read their Bible. So they would have to go to the synagogue to hear God's word to them. And so that's what they would do. They would go and they would listen and let that the words of God wash over them and become a part of who they were. And what God's word, God's law was to them, it created their identity. It was who they were as followers of God. So they needed to hear what God had to say about who they were and how they should live. God's word still does that for us when we allow it to wash over us and come inside of us. It shapes our identity. It helps us to know who we are and how we should live. And you know, when you hear a sermon, you're hearing my interpretation of scripture. And let's face it, I'm human. I might get it wrong from time to time, right? But isn't it okay to sometimes just hear straight from Scripture and let the Holy Spirit speak to you? That's what we're going to do today. Another thing is that Jesus, actually, when he was here on earth, he would have gone to the synagogue and also participated in reading and hearing the Word of God read out loud. Interestingly, the very first time when Jesus announces that he is beginning his ministry, it was at the synagogue when it was his turn to read. And he stood up and he read out of Isaiah the prophecy about the Messiah, the coming Savior. And he read the passage, and at the end he said, "Today this is fulfilled among you." He announced it after the public reading of Scripture. If it's good enough for Jesus, I'd say it's probably good enough for us to read Scripture together. Another thing is in the New Testament, Paul, who wrote Philippians that we're about to read, when he was giving some directives to Timothy, another church leader who he taught, who was younger than him and he brought up, he gave him a specific instruction. He said, when you go to your people, you are to preach, you are to teach, and you are to read Scripture out loud. That was one of the top three things that he was supposed to do as a pastor, as a leader of his people. So Philippians, I had it in opposite order in my notes. Another thing is that we all tend to like to take one verse out of the Bible and talk about that one verse, and not look at what comes before it and what comes after it. And I think it is often important for us to read larger sections of Scripture to see how it all comes together, to make sure that we're not just taking it and making it what we want it to be, instead of seeing how it all fits together. So today we get to read the whole letter of Philippians. Now, I want to set this up in a unique way today. I want you to think of a person who has been significant to you. Maybe a pastor from your formative years as a Christian, as a child. Maybe a teacher who was really important to you. Maybe a parent who has now gone on to heaven and you would love to hear from them again. Maybe a coach, someone who has been really significant to you. And imagine If that person, if you went out to your mailbox on Tuesday this week and you opened your mailbox and there was a thick letter from that person, first, how would you feel? Pretty excited, right? Not just a little one line. And nowadays, we don't even ever get personal mail anymore, right? We just get junk mail in our mailbox. And to get a personal letter that had your name on it and in the corner said it was from this significant person, wow. You would take that letter inside, and maybe you would make sure that you could sit down and you had a few minutes to read the whole thing, right? And you wouldn't just open it and scan through it and just read a sentence or two, would you? No, you'd sit down and you'd read it from beginning to end. You'd want to hear everything that person had to say, what they thought was important, right? You want to know it all. And in fact, you would probably get done reading it once and you may stop and then start reading it again from the beginning, right? You wouldn't want to miss a single word. So I want you to think about that feeling today as we read Philippians, because that's how the church at Philippi felt when they got a letter from Paul. Paul had started their church. He was their first pastor ever, and he had told them about the love that Jesus had for them. It had changed their lives, and now he was gone, and in fact, they knew he was in jail. They were worried about him. They didn't know what was happening, and they wanted to, and they wanted to hear, what else does he have to tell us? What wisdom does he have to share with us, right? That's what they want to know. So let's feel that same way, and let's read and hear Philippians that same way today. What's important that I need to hear? Now, a couple other things before we get started. Kids, in your clipboard, there is a page for you to follow along and look for certain words and listen for certain words. You can do that. You all have a paper that has it. We're all going to read from that version. Some of you are very afraid to mark in your Bibles. Well, you know what? I gave you a paper so you can mark on your paper. If something stands out to you, if something is a question to you, just make a note. And I would love to talk to you about it at some point. But it's okay for you to mark and follow along on your paper. And one other thing. So we're going to read the beginning, and then we're going to stop at certain points, and we're going to sing. But we're not just singing to sing. We're singing because these songs directly relate to what we just read. Because one of the ways that we remember Scripture is to put it to music, to have it come back to our minds. I was saying earlier in the 8:30 service, so much of what I remember from my childhood is in songs. I don't know if that's the same for you, and that song will come back to my head. I tell the story, my kids were probably mortified. They were a little too young to be completely embarrassed, but I remember one time we were in a grocery store lane, and it was taking forever to check out, and they were probably, I don't know, 5 and 3 years old, and they were impatient and done. And I started singing a song from my childhood. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. So I'm singing kind of quietly, and the lady who was doing the checkout, her head jerked up, and she went, I know that song. Yep, she knew it from her childhood as well. It was this connection that I made even that day. So the things that we put to music, they come to us when we need them, right? And the songs that we sing in church on Sunday, friends, they aren't just nice words that someone made up. They're words from Scripture. They relate to Scripture. And so I want you to see that and sing and connect that today as we go along. All right? Are you guys ready? Ready to learn from Philippians? Okay, so we have Daniel is going to come up, and then Kay and Carol for Philippians chapter 1.
Go ahead. Hey, take this so that they can just grab those.
This letter from Paul and Timothy's slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace.
Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for you all with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns.
So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of God's good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ.
I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God.
And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear.
It is true that some preach out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that it is that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Christ Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance.
For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live.
Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me.
Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You've seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it.
It's wonderful to be able to hear Scripture read. This passage in Philippians in particular is a wonderful passage. And I don't know if you picked up on it. I know Pastor Joanna mentioned it, but all the different ways that Paul refers to God in this passage. The power and majesty of even God's name and the authority of even his name. This first song we're going to sing is What a Beautiful Name. And it talks about how powerful and majestic even God's name is. You're invited to stand with us if you wish, if you're able to, and sing out these truths about God as we worship his name in this time. Would you stand and sing with us if you're able to? Amen. You may be seated. Before we read this next passage,
I just wanted to share a little something about this next passage, which is Philippians 2. One of the things you might not know, and I didn't know about until this week when Pastor Joanna informed me of it, that this passage, it is believed, was an early hymn. Okay, we would take these passages of Scripture, and 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day, they would take this particularly with like psalms, and they would memorize them, and they would put them to a tune, and they would sing them. And so this is believed to be a passage that was sung. It was a hymn. They knew the melody to this song. This passage in particular that we're going to read means a lot to me because I went to a Christian college, and one of our choir tours for Christian college, one of the demonstrations we did when we were putting on the performance was we started reading this passage, and there was just a few people reading it. And then as we kept reading the passage, more of us would stand up and add to the voice of those stating this passage. And I've done this before in worship with you all here, just quoting this passage from memory. But it's a very powerful passage for me, and it carries a lot of significance. And I'm excited this morning to share that with you because I know God has something to say to us in this. Everyone from babies to the oldest of us, God has something to say to us. So let's listen to God as this is read.
Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make my way, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose.
Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had.
Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross.
Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
You're invited to stand with us as we sing. We're going to sing a rendition of the hymn, The Wonderful Cross, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Would you join with us? Be seated.
Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him.
Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, but that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy.
If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you, and just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here, and I have confidence that the Lord, that I myself will come to see you soon.
Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, and he was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another.
I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know that you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve, for he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away.
Whatever happened, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are those one who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have a reason for confidence in their own effort, I have even more.
I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if ever there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault.
I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinity value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as a garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the might power that he raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead.
I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us.
Let us all, our spiritual nature, agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made.
Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Paul challenges us in this passage to live like those who are following him. This next song we're going to sing, we commit to that. I will follow you, Jesus. You're welcome to stand with us if you wish, if you're able to, and sing with us.
Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you. Dear friend, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appear to a dear and a sincere, please, because you belong to the Lord. Settle your disagreement, and I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are right in the book of life.
Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.
How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was even in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in present difficulty.
This next song we're going to sing, we are going to echo Paul's words here. Paul says, "For I have learned to be content in all circumstances, with a lot and with a little, in good times and in bad." This song that we're going to sing is Yes, I Will. This has a particular meaning to me that some of you know, and I'm not going to go into right now, but the depth of this song saying, I will lift you up in the good times, I will lift you up in the bad times. And the bridge of this song in particular echo Paul's words here when it says, I choose to praise. We can choose to lift up God in spite of our circumstances and because of our circumstances. Would you choose to worship with us right now? You're invited to stand if you wish, if you're able to, as we worship.
Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, all of your names describe who you are to us. You are the King, so you're in charge. You're also the King, so you own all things and can provide all things. You're our provider. You take care of what we need. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You are the Comforter and the Prince of Peace. And you are the one who brings joy. Lord, we give you thanks today. You have been at work in many people in our church's lives this week. We give you thanks for two surgeries that went really well this week, for Jaden and her open heart surgery that is already doing what it needs to do and that she's recovering quickly. We thank you for Travis and for the surgeon saying he thinks he got all of the cancer. Good news. And Travis, 2 days later, is already home from the hospital. We thank you for the work that you're doing in being healer. And Lord, we continue to pray that you would be the creator and the healer and recreate their bodies in the way that need to be done, that you are bringing new life to them. Lord, I also pray that you would be Emmanuel to those who are walking through hard times. Even now, I think of Don and Martha. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with them. Think of Harold and Doris, that you continue to be God with them. And Lord, my heart is heavy today for those who we sang about the joy that you give. And I just know so many people, even who are in some way part of our church and others who are connected in some way to friends in our church who are not experiencing joy and are burdened and even crippled by anxiety and fear. Lord, we pray for freedom for them beginning today, that they would know the joy that you bring, the freedom that you bring, that we can walk in strength and power, and we don't have to be a slave anymore to the fears that want to control us. Lord, would you be their freedom again beginning today? Would you be our freedom? Would we have the courage to follow you wherever you lead us, to speak the words that you have for us, to speak to our family, to our friends, to even a stranger on the street who we just know needs a word or encouragement or a smile? Lord, may we be your light in this world. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all that you've done, but also all of the things that you are still about to do in us, through your whole family of God throughout the world. We pray this in Jesus' powerful and loving name. Amen. You may be seated for the last part of Philippians.
As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness.
At the moment, I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gift you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen.
Give my greetings to each of God's holy people. All who belong to Christ Jesus, the brothers who are with me, send you their greetings, and all of the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Well, this final song we're going to sing, I'm challenged because Paul writes this letter and he says, those in Caesar's household send their greetings. For Paul, in that position, to be known by his love, to be known by not his deeds necessarily, but his heart, his intent, God in him. If God is love and God is in us, then we should be living love, right? This next song we're going to sing is They'll Know We're Christians, this hymn. You're invited to stand with us, to sing with us this last song. Let's commit to this.
Central, I know you are Christians by your love. It has been a joy to worship with you this morning, to worship with our children who have been so quiet, and our babies who love to sing every Amen. Time we sing, because we love one another. No matter how young or how old or what color or what language, may we leave this place and continue to be that love in our world, right? May you receive this blessing. May God the Father guide your every footstep. May Jesus, who loves you more than anyone else who died for you, be near to you each hour of each day this week. And may the Holy Spirit fill you with courage and strength to do the right things in love. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.